14. All right, I'm locked and loaded, brother.
Okay, cool.
How are my levels? Am I like too soft or overloading or?
No, you sound great. I got you in my headphones here.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Lord. Are you going to record it on your end, or shall I? Oh, you're recording. Okay, we're
good. Yeah, I already started it. Yeah.
Okay. Thank God. Man, it's been a long time, my brother.
Just looking back. Looks like last time we talked here was like about a year ago. Well, on Skype, I mean.
In Hawaii.
Yeah, when you were still in Hawaii.
Yeah. How the time zones have changed, my friend.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about the I Ching. You were my first interview.
Really? Wow, what an honor.
Yeah.
What a fun conversation too. I feel like we only just bridged the surface of all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big like topic to get into if you really want to examine it all. Yeah, I came across this story where supposedly they found the tomb of Genghis Khan, which has long been like lost for like forever, and like its location has always been a mystery.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get into it a little bit on my next episode because I have to kind of vet this story, and because it's hard to get confirmation on it. But I don't know if you know anything about Mongolia. I know you spent some time in like northern China, right?
Yeah, I was in Harbin for a year and a half back in like 2006, and I've been off and on in contact with a number of missionaries that took over that operation. So very Russian part of China. It's kind of weird. It's like all the buildings are Russian, Orthodox churches and brick buildings. The Chinese themselves are very tall there because there's like the genetic mix. So they look a little bit more European almost.
Oh, wow.
And great place. Like if anybody ever wants to be a missionary to China, Harbin is a great place because it's kind of, as they say, there are many mountains between us and the emperor in Beijing or wherever. So it's like you can get away with a lot and be a little bit more of a cowboy missionary, at least back then you could. But as far as Mongolia goes, all I know is yurts. Like thinking about yurts, like everybody's got a yurt.
Well, I seem to have this like I have this weird thing with Mongolia for like years because I remember thinking, okay, where could I go in the world where like nothing ever happens? You know, and I was like, you know, you think Mongolia's never in the news, like at least not the Western news, like
right.
Not much goes on there. It seems like pretty stable, like so I was just like I just always kind of had this fascination with Mongolia and just used to joke about it. Like, where can I go where nothing ever happens? But of course, there's probably like a lot that happens there that we just never hear about.
Mongolian people are very rugged. They're very you can easily get along with them. They're very down to earth people. One of my classmates, Kulan, that I studied Chinese with in Taiwan, she was from Mongolia, and she was like very adept with like using an AK-47 and driving four-wheel drive through the hills. And she used to take National Geographic on safaris and stuff. She's very adept, but a really like humble and fun, sweet person. And I had my girlfriend got pregnant at the time, and we were like freshmen in university and we had no money. And she was like, Mikey, don't worry. You know, in Mongolia, we have a saying, the babies bring the food. Like, in other words, just make it happen. You're going to find a way to take care of this child. And sure enough, we did. You know, my wife at the time, we got married and we took care of it. It was just like, okay. And we both graduated from university. So
yeah,
I just always think of her as like a milestone. Kulan, the Mongolian girl. Really, really great people, and made me think, man, it would be so refreshing to go out there to those like grasslands, those like wild lands, and just you look at any picture of a Mongolian, and they even like this girl, she's pretty like upper class, but you could still tell like they're weathered people. They're like they've been through it, so you're gonna survive the apocalypse pretty good in Mongolia, folks. So this broadcast is a commercial for Mongolia. And have babies, they will bring the food. So, speaking of which, what was the topic tonight? We just decided to do a show.
Honestly, I don't know. Well, I was, and you posted like 3 or 4 updates today that I haven't even got around to listening to. But I was listening to your interview with Gen X Ministry, like a TikToker.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Is she keep her, or should we send her back?
No, I think we should keep her. Yeah, it got me thinking really about a lot of stuff, and yeah, I felt like she could probably keep talking like nonstop for another hour.
The depth
of what she was getting into. I was like, wow, like the. I never really considered like the difference between like the reference to barley and then the reference to wheat, like by comparison. And she was talking about Prince Charles and the Queen. And then, you know, shortly after that interview, the Queen dies and I'm like, ooh, you know.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah, that interview took place just, I think, the day or two before.
Yeah, so, must have been.
I didn't even think of that. I've been so busy. Yeah, I find people like that, and they might have, like, a medium following. So I figure I have a chance to reach out to them and like, draw them into our fringe cult. So, but... Seriously, though, like I think that lady has some real wisdom and real fire and real revelation and needs her own platform, like not like a little TikTok thing. But yeah, she went live. I actually handed her the keys to my alternate TikTok account that I had so that she could go live because she didn't have enough subscribers on her channel, almost enough. But just I was like, here, you just hand it. And she got so prepared and so like ready and video and everything. And it was so sweet to see her use that and go and reach more people. So she's really a wonderful soul. And there's more. I've got more coming. I've been reaching out to more TikTokers. So that's like my third one. But there's just like a gajillion of them. So if you ever, you know, want to sell your phone's soul to China and download the app, like that's the place to go fishing. Like there are so many new warriors, and it's about time. Like there's a lot more to come. There's a lot of people carrying great weapons, like heavy guns. Yeah. So, and even like fringe new agers, like one thing I've noticed is there's a lot of they're kind of on the spectrum of the new age. Like they speak the new age lingo, but they found Jesus.
Right.
And there's those too. But I wouldn't recommend taking more than one at a time because those can be a hassle. You know, anyway, I don't want to speak ill of anybody, but that's what I've been up to. And thank you for listening to it. And thank you for, so you listen, how did you get my feed? Like the Telegram or like a little mini podcast feed or?
You must have posted it up on Spreaker. I didn't listen to it on TikTok. I listened to whatever copy of it you posted on Spreaker, I guess.
Okay, right. Yeah, and it'll be on the Fringe Radio Network momentarily. As soon as I should be uploading it right now, actually. But I just little bit taxed. I've got like 10 episodes more to fight to upload.
But she was talking about like 2023, things that were going to happen in 2023, 2024. And like, I right. immediately had to like go into prayer about it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is like, you know, a lot closer than what I was thinking. Like, and I always, I've always had a hard time with kind of the end time timeline. I think that's one of kind of the most difficult things I've tried to research or just understand. But I think that's kind of pretty common. Like, there's so much confusion about it, but just maybe, gave me some other things to chew on, I think.
I mean, it's good to have a sense of urgency, but I don't want to be, it says in the Bible, like, don't let anyone deceive you to thinking that the time of Christ's coming is at hand, because the day of Christ's coming shall not come until that wicked one be revealed, the son of perdition.
Right.
You know, that's the thing, is like the Antichrist shows up before Jesus shows up. So anybody that says the rapture's happening right around the corner is just, I mean, I don't feel ready for the rapture. Like, in a way, 3.5 years of tribulation is really to purge our souls to be more ready for Jesus, and a lot of us getting our heads chopped off and stuff. So, like,
yeah,
I think it's kind of good, like, as far as what the fringe, like the fringe Christian movement, not just our network, but like a lot of us, like all across the board, it's in a way, it's good that we're focused on these end time, like the Antichrist beast system rising and the global empire and Klaus Schwab and you will eat bugs and all this stuff, because it kind of helps to make people repent more, to be more ready for Jesus's arrival after the Antichrist shows up at the end of the tribulation, when Jesus shows up at the end of the Antichrist reign. Anyway, sorry, I'm mixing up the timeline, but I don't know about any dates. I mean, as far as Gen X ministry, I think she's really got a lot of revelation. But as far as the dates go, I can't say yes or no. I don't really agree with date setting in general.
And I've always thought, like, I've sort of retreated, I guess, to the position that it's flexible. Like, it can change. So there's no way that it can be set in stone or predestined, because how prophecy unfolds is also dependent on, like you said, how repentant people are or aren't. I think it's flexible. That's why it's hard to set dates. People can't really set dates. But she did have me thinking about right. dates. Possible dates, I guess.
Well, we should be armed to face people like that, that say, like, this is the day. I mean, what do you say? Like, they have all this Bible knowledge, and then they say a date. I mean, we should have enough Bible knowledge to say, no, the Bible says this, and therefore that, you know, and not just be sucked into their thing or blindly say, I don't agree. Like, we should have an understanding of what the Bible says. And what I understand, as far as the timeline goes, the day of Christ's coming shall not come until that wicked one be revealed. So the Antichrist will show up first. So anybody that says that Jesus is going to rapture you, there is a 7-year period that we Christians are going to be on the earth to see. I mean, whether there's like a mini rapture for the bride or whatever, taken to the right. wilderness, or I don't know. I mean, that could happen too. But as far as like the big mega kahuni of Jesus showing up, it's timeline 7 years, start as soon as the Antichrist shows up and signs the covenant of peace, which Jared Kushner kind of set the groundwork for, Abraham Accords. They could be building the third temple of Solomon at the end of the year, but they always say that, so they kind of need that temple of Solomon to start the sacrifice and everything. So but when you see a man of peace, it could be Prince William, it could be some guy, I don't know, and he sets this thing in motion, it's 7 years from that date to the arrival of Jesus Christ, as far as the Bible is concerned, as far as it says it over and over and over and over and over again, because the times of tribulation are going to be so bad, we're going to be literally marking our calendars, maybe even tattooing our limbs like marking the day. Like, so that's my knowledge, and you can take that or leave that. But yeah, anyway.
And I think we will be here for that period of the tribulation. That's going to be a testing time. And I think we'll still be able to, people will still be able to be saved during that time period. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Maybe even people that maybe went pretty far down the beast system, like, who knows? I mean, can somebody that took the mark repent before they died? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just hope for the best, you know. I mean, it's like the vaccine. People were saying the vaccine was the mark of the beast. I do not agree with that. Right. Have you ever heard anybody say that? Like,
yeah, I've heard it. I don't agree with it either.
And it's important to say that publicly, because some people listening might think that, oh, the vaccine was the mark. No, you have to willingly give your will and soul to the beast, to the satanic system.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it sort of setting the stage. You know, sort of the building blocks to
right.
What's going to become the beast system, what's going to become the mark. But I think it's more about compliance. It's like a test of like how compliant are people going to be and how far, you know, how fast can we go with this rollout is what I think it signifies.
What do you think, though? Like once it's the mark of the beast and it's like, OK, you're selling your soul to the devil, sign here, no going back. Do you think that people could be saved? Like if they repented, if they turned around and like, cause think of Hollywood and the music industry, like, oh, Michael Jackson sold his soul to the devil and got famous. But then he kind of turned around. If you remember, Michael Jackson started to make songs about hope and love and peace. And
yeah,
and they killed him. Like literally in 2009, Michael Jackson had this huge thing set up to go around the world and then it was called This Is It or whatever. I don't know. That maybe that was the documentary that was about his life, but he ended up dying right before that tour. And it was right during the time when they were rolling out Lady Gaga and all the satanic stuff, like blatant Miley Cyrus garbage. They didn't want Michael Jackson singing about hope and love and peace. And like, he sounded like he was trying to be a Christian, but they killed him. But I think Michael Jackson redeemed his soul. I think he actually did come back to the Lord at the end of his life. So what do you think? I mean.
Yeah, I think it's possible, you know, obviously, as far as Michael Jackson goes, and he was speaking up, he was talking about the Illuminati and stuff and saying people were calling him and harassing him. I think they had decided after the scandals and stuff, like, you're kind of useless to us now. We're replacing you with some other pop stars, you know. And I think they used him up. And when it was time to get rid of him, that's what happened. And it's always a shame because I think a lot of artists and musicians and performers and stuff, they're very idealistic. And they honestly want to see change, but then they get roped into the system and the industry of, you know, creating these pop icons, these, you know, American idols or whatever out of them, and you know, just harvesting all these, you know, Mickey Mouse Club, you know, Disney, you know, actresses and just abusing them. And it's really kind of a sick underground that it's become. But often, you know, they'll say things, you know, that hint that, you know, yeah, they do believe, they do have faith. It's just hard to say what the condition of their heart is. But yeah, I think the Lord can definitely pull you out of that, probably at the last minute too. I wouldn't, you know, rule that out. As far as after receiving the mark, who knows? I don't really know.
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, better to just say, nope, you're damned if you take it. But I'm just saying.
I think, like, it's going to be, I think it would have to be an obvious choice. Like, I don't think there can really be a gray area at that point. If people are going to be allowed the free will to make a choice about it, you know, I think there's going to be some kind of compelling, very alluring, attractive, bedazzling thing about it that's going to seduce people into it. So they're going to kind of willingly go for it, but it's going to be like a deception. It's not going to be what they claim it is.
And it's broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and narrow mm-hmm. is the way to life. And that needs to be, as much as we want to reach as many people as possible, and we're like total megastars now that we're podcasters on the Fringe Radio Network, you know, like, man, gosh, you know, but we still got to remember it's a narrow road. It's the disciples are always few. As one of my mentors told me back in China, it was like, don't come to a new city and expect to meet thousands of people that are crawling over each other to learn from you. It's usually just a couple of bedraggled people that God sends mm-hmm. your way. Yeah. I remember there was this one guy in China that was just driving me crazy. I was so busy. I was so like stressed out, and he just would not leave me alone. And I remember like kind of before getting on the bus to go back home to do a million other things, like just kind of almost grabbing him and saying like, look, do you want to get saved or not? Pray with me right now. And he was just sort of looking at me and he's like, okay, yeah. And I pray with him the salvation prayer, like angrily. And it was so like, and he was one of these people that was just trying to be our friend. I had the wrong attitude, but
right.
We had a few disciples there. And I think that's what we should look at. Like who's coming in our little circles, which we're reaching many thousands of people. But if you think about it, who do you talk on the phone with? It might be somebody that's kind of annoying you, that's like messaging you a lot, and be discerning. Some people can be sent of the enemy to distract you and whatnot, but
right.
Disciples are always, the way to life is very narrow, and it's not what Hollywood makes it out to be, where with their billions of dollars of infrastructure and satellites and radio and media and Taco Bell cups, advertising movies and stuff. It's a very humble thing the way that God does it. So that's my heart. In fact, like that's what I should make this. Whenever I talk, it's always about winning souls and discipleship, and like winning souls should be mass witnessing, soul winning. But when we talk about winning souls, it's like that one guy that we can mentor and teach to teach others. It might just be one or two people in your life, actually. I mean, yep. Obi-Wan only had Anakin, and you know, Yoda only had Obi-Wan, as far as I know. And Qui-Gon Jinn.
In fact, your soul existence, God's sole purpose for you may be to lift someone else up, like John the Baptist, almost. You know, to pave the way for Jesus.
Amen.
and I found that God definitely brings people into my path, whether it's coworkers or friends or family, yeah. friends of friends, who you can just, you know, you have a word for them or something. I mean, I argue with this guy that I work with pretty much every day, Monday through Friday, and he's the exact opposite. You know, he's a huge supporter of the New World Order. And yeah, but I can still have a conversation with him, and every once in a while I feel like I've dropped a seed in there somewhere. But then other days I'm like, I can't engage with him today. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
today, like, you know.
You ever just let those people talk and just like spout their thing? Just be like, so what's going on? And just let them like talk about how much Trump is evil, or
yeah,
you know, how many like evil Christians there are in the world trying to be terrorists or whatever.
I just sit there and I just nod and just with a little smirk on my face. Uh-huh. Yeah. You've got it all figured out, don't you? You know.
You know, my Trump card with Trump, though, with liberals now is like, well, I used to be a Trump supporter until he started supporting the vaccine. And that always stumps them. They're like, whoa, but, huh? Like,
I know. I'm like I'm way crazier than Trump. Like I'm way more conservative than Trump. You know.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, Trump is evil. Is he's trying to force people to? I mean, it's a cult though. You have to look at these people like they're really in their little bubble. And Russia, like, they think Putin is the Antichrist. Like, they think he is so bad. And Ukraine is so righteous and good. I try not to go there too much with people because I'm not even an expert about Russia and Ukraine. But it's like, yeah, people are very brainwashed. How are we doing on the Fringe Radio Network side of things? You've been monitoring the feed more than anybody, by the way. I should be, like, picking your brain about that. Like, what's been trending? Like, what's been going on? And how do you have time to actually maintain the feed, brother? Because that is a full-time job in itself.
Well, I've kind of got a system down. Like, so some nights I don't have time. Other nights I do have time, you know, because I work full-time Monday through Friday, some Saturdays. So I don't have a lot of time. You know, and I don't like to sacrifice, you know, family time and stuff. I have, you know, and then I've got my own podcast to work on. So, yeah, I try and just upload as many shows as I can in, like, you know, 45 minutes. I can get like 12 shows like scheduled and just cut and paste show notes and bam, 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 you know. Yeah, and then I'll go a couple days and I, you know, do family things, you know. So that's pretty much how I maintain it. And, you know, I'm usually out here in the studio like late at night working on my show or doing some research or whatever. I don't get a whole lot of sleep during the week. I probably get like, you know, 4 to 6 hours of sleep at the most.
Oh my gosh, dude. How do you maintain? I mean, I got to get my 9 hours if I'm going to have all my weird dreams and stuff. No, not that long. But, you know, you're a newlywed. You've got to spend time with your wifey and don't let this marriage to the Fringe here take over your life. But it is a military operation. So you can always kind of like do the CIA thing where, you know, Matt Damon in that movie, The Good Shepherd with Robert De Niro. He's got this secret military, like, CIA thing going on before the CIA was created, and he has to, like, keep everything secret. So he's married to Angelina Jolie, but he's got, like, these phone calls that he can't tell anybody, and he's just, like, wandering off, and he's got this double life. And that's kind of how I feel sometimes with all this podcasting stuff. It's like, honey, I gotta go take a walk for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah. You know? But, well, and you need the time for God too. Like, I can't explain it to her yes. every time. I'm like, well, she's like, what are you doing? Researching? You're recording something tonight? Are you doing your intro? Or I'm right. like, no, I just like need to go like sit and just like yeah. be with God. Just like think. Like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about on my podcast. I just, you know, and I always feel like that time pressure. So, I have a little voice recorder that I take with me to work. I get an idea for the podcast. I, you know, record it on my little voice recorder so I don't forget. And I use those clips in the show and kind of paste it all together. And it's all about like, yeah, trying to be time efficient. But my brain doesn't always work like time efficient. It's kind of like wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh my God, like, that dream was weird. Like, I got to go write this down. I got to, you know, but you got to go to work in an hour. I know. Just, it's cool. Don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
Yeah, that's literally been my excuse. It's like, honey, I got to go write this dream down. And I do get these crazy dreams. Like, I had a dream last night about being off planet. And before that, I saw these monuments for the tribulation saints, like these monuments for their it was the day before, actually, that Gen X interview.
I think I heard you talking about
that. Standing there, I mentioned at the end, and I'm like looking at these big these pillars for each soul, for each saint. There's a pillar erected, and it's for the ones that will endure. And I went there, and I was looking at it, and it was so real, like it was so physical and just normal. I almost couldn't believe it. It was like there were birds hanging around. It was just this normal place. But, you know, I haven't even written that one down yet. But usually I'll write down my dreams. But you got to kind of get it straight with your wife or whoever in your life. Like, I have my own spiritual life and you should have yours too. How can I help? One of the things that I can do is tell my wife, say, look, you need time for your spiritual life. Like, I respect your time with God too, because we're juggling two babies and, you know, it's always like the end of the world disaster zone. Yeah. But just say, look, you know what? I got to have my time with God. You need to have your time with God outside of work, outside of whatever else, as a salvation, because otherwise God can destroy marriages otherwise. So you want to make sure that that's very, very clear.
Yeah, that's good advice. I did tell her, like, look, you know, there's going to be times where I, you know, need to go work on this, or I need to, like, look something up, or I need to do some research. And I promise, like, you know, we're going to have our time together, you know. Just, she's been very supportive, you know, and I've been upfront with her about it. Like, you know, it's important to me. Like, you know, the job that I do during the day, you know, that earns money isn't like my passion, you know. She's lucky enough to where her passion is what she does for a living, because she's a teacher. She works with disabled kids, and so she does that, you know. That's her job, that's what, you know, is important to her. For me, it's this, you know, doing the podcast and just researching and learning and just reading the Bible and trying to reach people.
And this will never be a big money maker, but you can set up, you know, you can get your Cash App and your Venmo and your Zelle. And we're going to try to get Omega Man on the network. So I just did another show with him, and he's very excited about that. So stay tuned. The Omega Man, he's one of the like veterans of this. I mean, he's been doing this decade or so before I even got the inkling that I would do podcasting. So right. To talk to him and to be on his show every Friday night is insane. And I want to get you, maybe you can co-host with me one Friday night and introduce and kind of reel him in, because he's never used Spreaker and he doesn't even know what fringe Christianity is, or like the history of fringe. I think you know a little bit about Dr. Future, right? Like, were you ever aware of all this stuff during the Dr. Future days and the Future Quake?
I kind of started listening to, you know, fringe Christian podcasts and stuff, like, right on the tail end of Dr. Future, you know.
Okay.
I hear him mentioned all the time, but haven't heard a lot of his interviews or anything.
Well, Dr. Future was basically like the guy interviewing all the people that you might be familiar with, like L.A. Marzulli and Steve Quayle and Ron Paul and Derek Gilbert and like some random dude that was doing like alien abduction research and finding out that the name of Jesus can defeat aliens, which, by the way, that is a big thing. Like, I've heard numerous times that alien abduction researchers kind of hide the fact. They try to scrub the fact, actually, that in their research, a lot of people pray to Jesus during the abduction and they get delivered in the middle of the abduction from the thing.
Yeah, I've got a cache of documented cases where that's happened. Yeah.
Okay. So that's fringe Christian stuff. Like, that is like the heart and the core of what we are doing now. Mm-hmm. Although we're not like organized enough to only focus on that stuff as much as I would like. Like, I kind of tend to go and listen to like Secure Team 10 or Beyond Creepy YouTube channels that are focused on that stuff heavily. But
yeah, and that's kind of a big element with my show as well, because I think it's going to become more and more prominent, the whole alien agenda, alien deception. Dr. Future. And then there's lots of documented cases where just calling upon the name of Jesus or just praying to Jesus will thwart the abduction, which I think that's important, because It's kind of evidence for the fact that these aren't exactly, you know, flesh and blood alien species from another planet. I think we're dealing with something more local, something that recognizes the authority of Jesus.
Yeah, and that greatly introduces the connection point, the link in the chain here to Canary Cry, which they, as Dr. Future faded out, there was there still is, but they've kind of faded out a little bit too on their interviews. But Canary Cry Radio, they Basil and Gons, these young guys from California and God knows where, wherever Basil's from, but they really carried on that tradition. They interviewed a lot of the guys from that era in the early 2010s into the late 2010s. And now they do a radio news talk. Yeah. And today's episode is actually unbelievable episode today. The first 10 minutes, 20 minutes about genetic manipulation and like laser guns injecting genes to transform people's genes. Really, really interesting stuff that they're very methodical. Like they're very patient and they go through like 5-hour episodes sometimes just through all the news. And they'll have like the Nephilim update or like the latest thing in, you know, corruption in politics, but they won't stay in one thing too long. So it's, that is also carrying on the tradition of what the fringe Christian movement is all about.
Yeah, love Canary Cry News Talk. But yeah, when their episodes get 3 or 4 hours long, it's a little hard to stick with it. And I think they're over time, their episodes have got longer and longer and longer. And but it's just, they do such a great job, just in-depth examining articles, and you know, it's great stuff.
Well, once you get to a certain level, Daniel Shan, you start to realize, like, I can't keep up with all these people. They're doing a great job. Yeah. Imagine that you're the president and Donald Trump stands up there and he's like, Governor of Michigan, you're doing a great job. You're the sheriff of New Mexico. Great job. Nebraska. You know, like, he can't possibly know what they're all doing, but he kind of knows the guy. And that's, yeah. I think that's where we are. Like it's a governmental thing. I'm not worshiping Trump here, but I'm saying that's what he does as somebody that actually tried to network with the whole country successfully in his earlier career as the president. And I think that's really what you do when you step into these upper echelons of whatever it is that we do. What is it that we do?
Say that one more time.
What exactly is it that we do? Like, it's hard to like even explain to people. We're interdimensional Jesuit Vatican assassins of the New Jerusalem. No, I know that doesn't sound right. Who are we, Daniel-san?
Well, that's pretty colorful, but I just like to think of myself as someone who gets people to think, I guess.
Okay, fair enough.
Think twice about what they've been conditioned to believe. Even when it comes to the Bible, people have preconceived notions about Christians, the Bible. People will believe things that aren't in the Bible, and think that's, you know, a representation of Christianity. And Omega Man, so maybe he's not the quintessential, like, fringe Christian, but he covers like spiritual warfare, the deliverance sort of angle pretty heavily, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So that kind of merges with the fringe Christian stuff. We've got Dan Duvall on the network and Holly Baglio and I think it would be a good fit, to get him on the network.
And to let him know, like, with, okay, so Holly Baglio, Dan Duvall, and I guess maybe my show at times, and maybe some topics that you, and Let's Get Jacked Up, we can't forget about Tim Parrish and folks, like, interviewing Holly and being very open to covering a lot of these bases. Like, we aren't afraid of talking to super soldiers and dealing with the satanic secret space program, those kind of things. So for Omega Man, one thing that I might tell him is, like, we're just trying to carry on the torch from Russ Dizdar and dealing with the basically what Russ Dizdar's ministry, his missionary operation was about, was addressing the fact that there are hundreds of millions of Antichrist super soldiers programmed in sleeper mode, getting ready for kind of like Antifa, like came out of nowhere with Black Lives Matter and all that Antifa stuff. Like, right. Where did those people come from? Well, there are armies, according to Russ Dizdar, underground Antichrist soldiers. So we need deliverance. You know, we need good and preaching.
Somebody's coordinating that from on high. Someone's flipping the switch and saying, okay, Portland, you know, okay, Seattle, okay, you know, right. Is that what it's going to be like, you know, with the Black Army, you know, the super soldier army? And I think I talked about that. I had a dream where Russ Dizdar visited me, and it was just maybe 2 days after he died. Had a dream where he visited me, and he's just here in the studio, and wow. inspecting my studio, looking around, seeing what I'm up to, like looking at my notes, like going through the drawers, and I'm kind of freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, what's he, you know, what's he going to criticize me about? What am I doing wrong? Like, so I definitely feel like we were being called to kind of carry that torch in a way. Yeah, really incredible dream, you know, and he's like, in my dream, he's like my boss, my employer or something, you know, just kind of dropping in unexpectedly. And basically the communication I got from him was like, you've got to kind of sharpen up your act here a little bit. Like, you've maybe you're too tied down here and you need to learn how to be more quick on your feet. Like, and it very much felt like it was a real time interaction, like, you know, regardless of, I guess, what we believe happens when we die. Do we, you know, we go to sleep with Jesus? I felt like Russ was still active in the spirit war from the other side. At least,
well, I had a spiritual. There's so much I could unpack with what you just said, and I think that it also pertains to your focus to maintain the Fringe Radio Network, which you're literally the captain right now. Like, you're maintaining the,
which is so weird, because I just kind of, I think you were moving from Hawaii, and Johnny was like reunited with his wife and just wants to retire. Yeah. And I'm just like, hey, can I help? You know, I know you guys are busy with stuff. Can I just help post a few shows or whatever? And now I'm doing it basically.
Well, we're getting the word out there, and there's also for our own shows, it boosts, like, I might post to my own podcast feed just because I like to have my own, like, private Spotify, iTunes feed, but I still only get maybe 30, 40, 50, sometimes a couple hundred occasionally downloads. But the Fringe Radio Network literally, like, guarantees hundreds of downloads per show.
And
like,
and
it could be literally like farts, and you would still get, like, I could just upload an MP3 of just farts and burps, and you would still get. But if you think about it, like, we can utilize that to get more traction for people. And if we did that a lot, I'm sure it would get the wrong audience and it would maybe destroy the thing. But, like, we have this pirate ship to bless and help people to get out there that have never been heard before. And it's in that medium area where I could grab, like, an Omega Man, or we could get Dave Hodges, who I also need to contact, or a Steve Quayle. And they would probably be like, yeah, sure, you know, share our stuff.
Yeah.
And grow.
So I was, Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's it. It's just it's like an amazing opportunity for everybody. It's literally like the concept of a rising tide lifts all the boats operation, and you are literally manning that operation. So I bow to the king pirate, the seas of the situation. With Rust Izdar by your side. He's like,
I was scared, and Rust Izdar is a big guy. Like, he's a pretty big huge. Dude.
He's like this Roman soldier. He's just like this Italian guy that just... The Hyperion.
Yeah.
The Gnosis.
And well, I kind of... Well, I found the Fringe. I found the Fringe Radio Network. I found the Fringe Christian movement like through the InfoWar.
Oh.
And I was listening to Alex, and he was interviewing Steve Quayle on this one particular episode. And Steve Quayle was talking about Genesis 6 and talking about the fallen angels and aliens. And I was like, whoa, like, who's this guy? What, you know, what's he know? And then searched out some more interviews of Steve Quayle. And then I found Doug Hagman, the Hagman and Hagman show. Started listening to that, and then he had interviewed L.A. Marzulli, and somehow that led me to Fringe Radio Network, and I started listening to podcasts on the show, and then you popped up shortly after that with Spirit Wars and started listening to your show, and that's it's been my support system. I feel like I get more information, just more Bible knowledge from the podcast that I listened to than I ever got in any church I ever attended, you know?
Yeah. I'm not,
and I was baptized by the minister that, baptized Steve Quayle, Steve Quayle's, minister out in, Billings, Montana. Yeah. John Kyle is his name.
So John Kyle is literally Minister X of the Ministry X.
Yeah, I got deliverance from him.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah. You have a deliverance experience.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Me too. Well, so I could talk for hours. Like, there's so many parallel things there. I mean, InfoWars to Steve Quayle to all this stuff. For me, it was 2009, and I had literally the same trajectory. And by miracles upon miracles, I met Johnny's friend Matthew Miller, who was working with the Iron Show very closely back in 2014 to 2015, and the 9/11 bin Laden tower collapse on the Mecca structure, the big, you know, the Islamic holy place. I got to do a show with Matthew Miller out of nowhere. I don't even know how he found me. I was posting things on Facebook. That was it. All I had was Facebook. And I was just like, that's it. I'm going to post videos on Facebook. And I was friends with Matthew Miller, and he was watching my videos. And that's how I got to meet Johnny. And then Johnny got me into this Spreaker stuff. And it took months to understand even what it was or how it worked. It was like, what's this Spreaker podcasting stuff? So it was, it's a process to get out of the matrix. Like, I was pretty awake, but I was still stuck in like, well, all I got is Facebook and YouTube. And so it's really interesting how that trajectory. And then it was, I kind of upset the apple cart too, because then Johnny was like, let's get your show going, do Spirit Wars. I'm like, okay, I'll do Spirit Wars. And then I started interviewing these people. I was really pissing off people on the network. And here's the thing, Johnny stuck by me. He stuck by me. He didn't say, well, Michael Basham is just a heretic. He defended me even when I was interviewing people that had horrible doctrine. It was so funny. I won't name names again because they might hear this, but like the loyalty of Fringe Radio Network, like the people watching out for people, and then those that were interested in monetary gain or a name for themselves, they left. not just because of me, but overall, like, a lot of people left. Like, they were like, yeah, I'm getting out of here because, you know, this is going somewhere I don't want it to go. But it was really about the core loyalty and the brotherhood. And Johnny really has that. Like, he literally stands up for you and he will fight to the death, even though he never met me physically until a year ago. Like, he will fight to the death to defend you if you're his brother. It's amazing. So, yeah, welcome to the weird club. But it's, I mean, you're carrying the torch here, man. So I'm kind of blabbering and jambling, but what do you see as the future? Like, where you're looking at all these feeds, like Sarah Westall and others, like, mm-hmm. where is this going? You know, as far as our shows, what we're doing. I mean, you've been there since InfoWars years ago.
Yeah.
What do you see? I mean, we're in this now. You know, there's going to be another lockdown, another global lockdown, whatever. What's your vision?
I think we need to have resilience against the possibility of like an internet kill switch or a reset period where we may not necessarily have access to the internet. Like, and I've heard you say it several times, you know, we have this for now, like, but that may not be the case in the future. So I'm kind of like, we need to like burn off all the good documentaries and stuff, that all the good information off of YouTube, and put it on DVDs and have a big tube of DVDs in a sealed, you know, plastic thing, and a DVD player, since they may not make DVD players, and, you know, a little power converter so you have something to plug it into, and bury that sucker. That way, yeah. Like, when we get... You probably weren't expecting me to go there with that, but I... So we have this record of, like, what happened. And I really think there's going to be a great reset. And I think we could lose the internet, or at least certain people will not have access to the internet. And we're going to have to find other ways of communicating with people and letting people know, hey, look, this is what happened. Despite what you hear on the news about the, you know, the terrorist patriots or whatever, this is really what happened. And then we'll have access to some of that information before it's all down the memory hole. So even if that comes to just burning off an MP3 and just handing somebody, you know, a preloaded little zip drive or something, it might come to that.
By all means. I mean, if you have time to do all of that stuff, do it. I mean, that takes time. I would also invest in...
Somebody out there can do it. I don't know if it's me, but
physical carbon copy text, like, pay. If we're going to go this, dude, how far you want to go with this? Because I'm ready to go all the way. Like, typing stuff out on printed pages. If you even just have booklets, if you have pamphlets of like bullet points of what happened, as far as like, if the great reset should occur, this is what happened. And then have like Bible studies. I was trained in a very fringe, culty, but very fringe, very actually biblically sound group in many ways. The Children of God, the family had, I remember just seeing volumes of biblical condensed for this very purpose, because they thought that Jesus is coming back in 1995 and the Antichrist is showing up in 1989, so we got to have all this stuff prepared. So they printed it all out, and of course it was like oldie by the time I saw it. It was like 2002, and they're like, yeah, we got to burn all these piles of Bibles. I'm like, this is evil. Like, why am I burning Bibles? Oh, well, you know, we got it all on digital now. I'm like, but these are like precious, like word study condensed. Like, here's the whole timeline of the Antichrist, and here are all the important verses on prayer and prophecy that you need to know. And just having those physical bound little copies of, maybe we should all be writing down things and just like writing them out, printing them out, putting them in little like airtight capsules in case that does happen, in case we lose the technology. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, there's more than just podcasts. Like, we should be – there's Substack. I'm about to start a Substack account because I'm actually kind of a wannabe writer, and I want to start writing again. And Substack makes it easier to write, and then people will write blogs on that, and then they'll publish books. I think we should have books.
Substack?
Yeah, Substack. It's like the latest, like, blog thing. Like, nobody does blogs anymore. It's all Substack.
Yeah, I used to have a blog up until I think my last blog entry was after Trump got elected in 2016.
Oh, your blog is brilliant. Brilliant.
I linked you to a couple articles on there, I think.
Well, you've read your blog on your podcast. I've listened to your podcast for a long time, and you have some amazing, amazing blogs. Your journey is just absolutely very significant. So, well, don't let me hog your night, man. Your wifey is probably mad at you. I know my wife is mad at me too. And no, just kidding.
I don't think she's mad. She's in there watching one of her shows. So she's probably already asleep. So
let's do a show as regularly as we can. Like, we need to join minds of fringe captains. I promise to get back on board more often.
Yeah, I live definitely. Let's do that whenever we have the opportunity, for sure.
Yes, and our audience, go to fringeradionetwork.com. And do you have your own dedicated website yet, or?
Yeah, it's ministryxpodcast.com.
Oh wow! Okay, cool. I'll bookmark that. And I am
not a whole lot there yet. It's still under construction, but yeah, I'm going to be putting more up there.
Are you using Weebly or WordPress or anything like that?
So it's on the official Fringe Radio Network servers.
Oh, that's so brilliant.
But I'm using WordPress as to do the pages. So it's not hosted by WordPress, but I'm using the WordPress software, I guess. Johnny's like, I hate WordPress, but go ahead and use it if you want to use it.
Well, just so you know, the spiritforce.com did the same thing, and we got really big, and then we got deleted. Because what WordPress does is they'll let hackers in through the back door, and they don't like your content. Boom, boom. You is gone. You is bye-bye. So I was trained by Johnny to write HTML, and I have a very basic HTML, dedicated, text file that I'm not recommending people do this. I'm just telling you, faithbugs.com looks terrible because it's really literally written bare bones by me. So
yeah, but everything's there. Everything's there, and you just scroll down and find it.
Right. I use Telegram a lot to that's where I post stuff, and that shows up on the website. But Daniel, don't put too much into WordPress, please. Don't put your soul in your heart. I have so many sorrows with WordPress. Anyway, it was great talking to you, brother. We could talk forever.
It was great talking to you too.
Any last words? Do you want to pray for our audience?
Yeah, sure. Lord Jesus, we just come before you right now, and we ask that you bless the listening audience and Amen. That you hear their prayers. If they're looking for the truth, if they're having a hard time finding you, Lord, I ask that you just reveal yourself to them, reveal yourself when they're reading your word, and highlight those scriptures, those verses that are important to them, and speak to them, and just keep everyone safe and healthy. And we ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We bless you guys. Everybody who listened to us, I hope that you can envision a campfire with, some hot dogs and some marshmallows and some non-alcoholic beers, and we're just hanging out. And
six pack of O'Doul's.
Yeah. which I literally ordered once, not knowing what they were. People were laughing at me. But this is real fellowship. Like, this is just, you know, we're both fighters. We're on the front lines. We've come through many battles. And you are listening to two fighters who love Jesus and who love you. And consider yourself hired if you're like, oh, I kind of feel I'm vibing with these people. Like, this is, well, we could use you on Spirit Ships, on this Fringe Radio Network pirate craft. So subscribe.
Yeah, by no means do we pretend to know everything or have, you know, the entire end times timeline figured out, but we're on the journey with you. And, you know, part of listening to our shows is figuring this stuff out together.
Yes. And we both have our own separate shows where we do solo, but it's rare that we can just kind of come together, and we should do more shows like this, like kind of Iron Show style.
Yeah.
And just do, you know, the meeting of the mind. So, and welcome to join us too. And email us. Find our emails at our websites and fringeradionetwork.com. Follow the Twitter for fringeradionetwork.com as well. That gives you the notifications for all the new shows. Yep. So bless you all, and have a wonderful day.
Nighty night, everybody. All right.
It says that Daniel is still recording the call, but just letting you know.
I'll stop.
That's more editing for you, man.